Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you on Sunday evening.
Yeah, good to be here, too, the Sunday after Pentecost Sunday. Well, we were going to do a Pentecost show last week, but this is Pentecost show part two.
Part two,
2.0. But you can never say enough about Pentecost.
No.
In fact, Pentecost is still going on to those that are open to the Spirit moving.
Yeah, see, Pentecost is, I mean, the feast of Pentecost is one day, but
right.
The reality of what Pentecost does
has
been going on since that Pentecost morning.
Whoa, that's an awesome point.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, it sure is. People still being empowered, ministry still going on.
People still being baptized in the Holy
Spirit.
Yes,
absolutely.
People still prophesying
and we may not see physical, we may not see physical fire coming down, but we see the results of that fire.
Yes.
Yeah, and interestingly, as the charismatic renewals have swept through all the different denominations, you know, there's many people that, talk about, you know, they experienced a new Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
In the early days of the Pentecostal revivals, you know, people would say, oh yeah, you know, I had the new Pentecost. I had Pentecost.
And, yeah.
You know, to people who don't know what they're talking about, that sounds kind of weird.
Yeah. Pentecost, what are you talking about? Didn't that happen a long time ago?
Yeah, that was 2,000 years ago. But no, the Holy Spirit didn't go on vacation after that. He's still working.
He did.
Yeah, he's still working, still pouring out his power on anyone that turns to him, anyone who is a believer in Jesus the Messiah.
Well, you know, Jesus told the disciples, go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, as you were pointing out last week when we finally got to Pentecost towards the end of the show, even though it was a Pentecost show.
Yeah.
We got to set the stage.
Yeah. Is it Christmas? Is it Christmas yet?
No, not yet. But it's always good to read about when the disciples are standing there and they ask the Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Because it shows the focus of where they were at.
Yeah.
Even after 3 years, even after him being crucified and risen from the dead,
yeah.
Here you have the risen Messiah in your midst. And that's the question that's, you know, it's interesting. Interesting that that's the question, but. But the best part is when the angel comes and goes, what are you guys doing here? What are you looking up in the sky for? Come on, get moving, get going.
It's
here.
It's time to get to work.
Get to work.
Yeah, I mean, so, these guys had been 3 years with Jesus.
Yeah.
3 years, you know, listening to him teach, listening to the word, watching what he was doing, the signs and wonders, the miracles. You know, they had a human-to-human contact. They heard about the Father.
Mm-hmm.
They heard about the Spirit. They heard about the Son, and Jesus even went out of his way to call himself the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all this powerful teaching that they experienced firsthand. But still, the command was, you have to wait in the city until you're clothed with power from above.
Yeah.
And we talked about how they went to pray, and they were praying in one accord. And I refer you again to Psalm 133.
Mm-hmm.
They were praying in one accord. And then the Spirit suddenly came in power.
Yeah. You know, and when you were just talking, I was thinking about how Jesus meets the disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives them this awesome Bible study of everything that pointed to him in the beginning with Moses and the prophets. And their hearts were on fire for the Lord. But yet they weren't prepared to go out and proclaim the good news yet.
Yes.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Jesus himself is instructing you in all truth of what the scriptures meant and how they all pointed to him, but yet he still tells them, wait here for the power of the Holy Spirit,
because
you're going to be clothed with power from on high.
Yep.
Not your own power, but God's power.
Right. Yeah.
So when you think about it in those terms of what Jesus taught them, what took place after his resurrection, and yet he still knows they're not ready to go out yet because they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. And without that wind, that driving force of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. you know, we're building the house by ourselves. Mm. You know, and you know, Scripture says,
that's a good point.
if you build the house, if you labor,
you labor in vain. Yeah.
You know, if you build the house yourself, you're laboring in vain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or unless God builds the house, you labor in vain. I'm sorry.
Right. And that applies to ministries as well.
It does. It really applies to ministries as well. So shall we start off with the reading of the Pentecost account this time?
In case you forgot where that is, it's in Acts chapter 2. And Acts, of course, was written by Dr. Luke.
Dr. Luke.
Who, you know, when he started doing writing and missionary work, he had to give up his practice and sign out to somebody to take care of his patients. But he didn't have Obamacare or electronic medical records or anything like
none
that.
None of that?
No.
Wow. Where were they at? Wow.
Anyway, why don't you read, this is Acts 2, 1 through 13.
Okay.
That's a natural break.
When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement, they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God. They were all astounded and bewildered and said to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others said, scoffing, 'They have had too much new wine.'"
Yeah, wow. So we talked last week about how Pentecost was the Hebrew feast day of Shavuot. It's the Feast of Weeks. You count 49 days after the first Sabbath, after Passover, and then the 50th day is Pentecost. So each of those feast days, from Passover to Shavuot, is used in a powerful way in the bringing in of the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
This is, of course, the birthday of the church.
Yeah.
Because now this group of 120 people is going to be so empowered and so emboldened, and they're going to have what I call the connections, where they're going to suddenly understand what this was all about.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't quite get all that, as you mentioned, well, you're going to restore the kingdom now. And they didn't quite get all this.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, all the things they heard, as you mentioned, from Moses, from the prophets, all the things they heard every Shabbat in the synagogue. Now, all of a sudden, they understood what it all meant.
Mm-hmm.
And they understood that it all pointed to Yeshua, who had just left them, you know, 9 days before this.
Yeah.
And they suddenly understand this. And so this is, in fact, the birthday of the church.
Mm-hmm.
These guys and girls all became evangelists, all went out into the world. You know, Peter ended up, of course, being martyred in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Each of those people went somewhere and preached the gospel.
Right.
And, you know, interestingly, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was also there. Mm-hmm. There were some other women. I mean, this was pretty much the whole church at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, that morning, that was pretty much the whole church.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there were a couple of believers in town who hadn't shown up at the upper room, but this was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the day, there were 3,000 more.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good church growth in the first day.
Not too bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
And our friend Peter, who we're going to talk about some more later next week or following week, who knows, you know, does this terrific sermon that gets people all excited and really convicts them in their heart about who Jesus was and what had happened to him.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, the Spirit comes with this rushing wind and with fire. And it says the fire divided up in tongues and each of them rested on everyone. All 120 of them got some fire on them. And I like to think of this as they all got gifts. Mm-hmm. You know, we all get gifts when the Spirit comes down on us. Those of you that have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit know what I'm talking about in a very real way.
Mm-hmm.
And we could, I love hearing people's testimonies about how they came to the Lord and how they were baptized in the Spirit. But everyone has their unique gifts.
Right.
Mine is not music.
It's not?
No. I mean, I know you're surprised.
I am.
But, you know, everyone has their unique wow. gifts. And each of these 120 people had a flame over their head because each of them got a gift, as Paul's going to say later in Corinthians, for the building up of the body.
Yeah. I'm still a bit astounded and bewildered. You don't novel each other, that you don't have the gift of music.
Should I go get my McPherson guitar?
Yeah, please.
Paul Wilbur, if you're listening, I'm just kidding.
No, he's not. No, you don't have a
probably
McPherson.
In Bolivia.
You
or something.
Don't have a McPherson?
I don't.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, there are gifts. There's gifts of the Holy Spirit that come when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And those gifts are there to empower you to proclaim God's truth, the Word of God, in all of its fullness, not partially, but in all of its fullness, and also to teach you of all things that God has, you know, to remind you of all things that God has taught,
mm-hmm.
and, or that Jesus has taught. But the gifts aren't really for ourselves. They're for the building up of the faith community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're there for.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, they're to be used freely and given freely because God gives them freely.
Yes. And for building up of the body, you know, I always use the example that, let's say, Stephen is an example who does, in fact, have the gift of music.
You think?
Yeah. I have, like, zero gift of music, so we were just joking, as I'm sure any of you who know me understand that. But, you know, if all Stephen did was sit in his house and play praise and worship songs and just enjoyed doing it, and no one else ever got to hear it, it's not the point of why he got the gift. If someone has the gift, you know, whatever gift they have, if you just say, hey, I got the gift, this is pretty cool,
yeah,
I can stay home and enjoy my gift,
yeah,
that's not why you got the gift.
Exactly.
And, you know, you're being used using the gift that you've been given in order so you can be used the way he wants you to be used,
yeah,
in a very specific way.
Yeah, I mean, God equips you.
Right.
Certainly, God equips you with talents that you really need to develop throughout your life,
mm-hmm.
so that you can be prepared to be used. But the, you know, the supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit, or the charisms, if you will,
mm-hmm.
God can give you a charism, and you know, He can impart you with knowledge that you didn't have before and you didn't study.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that if he's given me the ability to play the guitar, which he has, and I never took the time to cultivate that gift, develop it, mm-hmm. and help it to grow, then I'm not really cooperating with God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, if God's plan for me is to lead praise and worship, which it is, but I didn't do all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
then I would be the one standing before God going, geez, Lord, I really didn't understand that.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a good place for me to be in.
Yes.
You know, so the essence of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is, how do I want to say this? The natural ability that I had to play the guitar and sing as I developed it, when the Holy Spirit takes hold of it, God can use it in a way that I can't.
Yes, exactly.
You know, that's
a good way to put it.
I guess that's the best way that I can put it.
That's a good way to put it.
Where I can sing a song, and if God chooses to, you know, reveal himself to somebody in a more intimate way or something, I have no control over that.
Right.
But certainly in that environment, if we're praising God, you know, the Holy Spirit can really move in mm-hmm. wonderful ways that I myself can't direct or, you know, I can't choreograph that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because when, let's say if you have the gift of teaching and every day you prepare a teaching, so after a year, you got 365 teachings, but you've never done them anywhere. You've just sat at your kitchen table looking at them over going, wow, this was a great teaching I did. But nobody got, you know, that
you have to go out.
Yeah. You don't go out. Nobody hears the teaching. The teaching's not just for you. But I can't tell you how many times in the sessions that I do and the groups that I do where all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows you something that's not in your notes, you hadn't thought about before, you never saw it in that passage before, and I sometimes will stop and go, whoa.
Yeah.
And people will say, what? And I'll go, I just realized something.
They're like, what's going on with you? Are you okay? Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is great.
Yeah, this is great. This is great. You know, I'm learning a lot from this.
See, I think you might have the gift of teaching.
Or sometimes I, you know, people laugh, people snicker at me when I say, well, you know, Steve and I do this radio show, but sometimes when I listen to the radio show again, I learn a lot from it. And they go, but you did the radio show. I go, I know, but I didn't realize something until I heard it the second time.
Well, you know, that's very true because when Sandy and I first started witnessing about how God had worked in our lives, at first we would try to read it from a script. And one day somebody said, you know, you have a really powerful testimony. Lose the notes.
Yeah, don't read it word by word.
It was the best advice somebody gave us because what we started to do was we would record what was taken, you know, what we talked about. We would prepare and certainly have notes to go off of, but we didn't write it, you know, we didn't write it out word for word. But when we went back and listened to it, it was always in the right order and it was always more powerful than we thought it was.
Yeah.
And we did learn stuff from it.
Sure.
So what you're saying is very true is that, you know, God can, and I always take this into ministry, is if I'm not being formed and prepared and learning something as I'm going out to do ministry, something's wrong. Because I certainly have to be formed and prepared to go out there and preach to the people or play music. Yeah.
And these, you know, when you think about these people in the upper room, 120 of them, they're all baptized in the Holy Spirit at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
And we'll get to Peter's teaching eventually. But, you know, we don't know what the rest of them did because the word tells us what Peter did. But we don't know exactly what the rest of them did that day. But I don't think they all sat in the upper room going, well, let's just have Peter go out there. And, you know, he seems to be doing a pretty good job. let's just order some lunch and we'll just stay here.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. I mean, they all did something. Oh, I love this song. It's first break already.
It is.
I got through one sentence on my notes. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Like incense as we magnify the sun, mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. And together, we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. For clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I love that song.
That's an awesome song, even so. Yeah,
I like it at that tempo. I don't like when he sings it really slow, though.
Oh.
Although that is good, too. I like all of
you
it.
You hear that, Paul?
If you're listening, I don't really mean that. You're still my hero.
Oh, my.
Anyway. What are we doing? Oh, Pentecost show.
We're critiquing Paul over.
Well, I mean, I feel like I qualify as a music critic.
So. Well, that's true. Yeah, you got your McPherson.
Too
stuff,
many
yeah.
minor chords. Oh, anyway, but interestingly, this rushing wind and this power that suddenly came, apparently you could hear all over the city because people come to see what's going on. And the Spirit comes. You know, fire brings light into the world and it lights other fires. And, you know, it also has kind of a purifying effect because, as you all know, to make a precious metal out of the ore, you use fire to just melt the metal so that it comes out of the ore. You know, you don't just grab a piece of gold ore and say, here you go. Can you make a ring out of this? You got to get the gold out of it first.
Yep.
And fire is the way that you do that. Mm-hmm. And it purifies it, you know, burns up the dross, which is one of those cool old words that nobody uses anymore. But you burn up the impurities and it makes light. And as these people are suddenly and powerfully baptized in the Spirit, they all get this happening inside of them. And they all get a light inside of them that's lit by this fire.
Yeah.
And their hearts are opened up to the word and their minds are opened up to this word, to the word. And they're then empowered by the Spirit to whatever they're supposed to do for the body. And, you know, Paul talks about that, how everybody's gifts are used to build up the body. I think I said Corinthians, but I think it's in Ephesians. But anyway, it might be in both.
It could be.
When in doubt, say something's in Corinthians, because almost everything is. But, but it might be Ephesians. But this, you know, begins, this is the birthday of the church, because after this baptism in the Spirit, it all begins there. And interestingly, we mentioned last week that 3,000 people were saved that day. 3,000 people were slain at the base of Mount Sinai when they made the golden calf. And another way to look at this, too, is this now becomes the opposite of the Tower of Babel or Babel. Because when you look at that account, you know, humanity all spoke the same language. They were exalting themselves. And so God says, let's confuse their languages so they can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So the one language is broken into thousands of languages, which, you know, we still have today. But with the Holy Spirit coming and this gift of tongues that comes on these people, the apostles, like we know Peter for sure, he's speaking Aramaic probably with a Galilean accent. And all these other people that are there, and they mention where all these people are from in the passage, they hear them and they hear him in their own language.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the opposite of Babel. Now, even though they all have different tongues, they all hear the same thing. Mm-hmm. And because Shavuot, Pentecost, is a pilgrimage feast, all these people are there from all these different countries. So what you have to understand, and you might enjoy coming to One and Messiah to learn more about this. We'll talk about that at the next break.
Ooh.
But when the Hebrew feast days that all prefigure Jesus and all have to do with redemption are used in the plan of salvation. For example, God doesn't decide, well, next Sunday, the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out on those people. Or maybe we'll make it Monday. I don't know. But no, it's going to be on the Feast of Pentecost because it happens for a reason. The people are there. The other people have been praying with one accord. This is the time when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you can see such a change. I mean, we always use Peter as the example. You know, Philip was another one. You know, Jesus, you know, the Lord went, if you just show us the Father, then we'll kind of get this.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, you know, he's filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
He goes and preaches in Samaria. Mm-hmm. And you know, now all of a sudden he understands what Jesus was talking about.
Yeah.
And he probably thinks to himself, wow, you know, when I told him, show us the Father, that was kind of a stupid thing to tell him. But now I get what he told me. Because all these, you know, sort of pathways in their brain suddenly became connected.
Connected, yeah. Yeah. When you were talking, I was thinking of something, and then you said something else. And, you know, when they get this and they understand and they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, yeah, they go out and preach. You were talking before about, you know, you got to go out and use the gift that mm-hmm. you're given. Because if you're trying to develop it on your own inside your own home, nobody else can see it or hear it or be impacted by it. And you know, when you share the testimony that God gives you is to build up the body, is to mm-hmm. impact somebody else.
Yes.
And I just happened to share with this one young man who's graduating high school, who's been playing guitar at the one church that I minister at. I just happened to share with them what happened to me in Cancun. Wasn't planning on it. Mm-hmm. He asked me a question. We got into a conversation, and I don't remember how it got there, but it was just directed in that direction. It impacted him so much so that he told the youth minister at the youth group that he goes to. They invited me to come and talk, and you know, now he's telling me, you know, that you're what you shared really impacted these other kids, these other young people. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just amazing. It's just not really, it wasn't something that was planned, not something that I was looking at doing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happens when the Holy Spirit moves.
Yeah.
It's not planned, it's not coerced. It's a natural flow of you have a conversation with somebody or you're sharing something that the Lord's done, and boom, it impacts them. And you know, his heart was good and fertile soil,
mm-hmm.
you know, where, it just moved him.
Yeah.
And it's something that God does, and it's not under my control.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're talking about how Peter goes out and gives this awesome teaching, and, you know, and he connects things in such a way that is so powerful and impacts so many people that 3,000 are added to the church because they're cut to the heart.
Yes.
They realize the severity of what they've done.
Yeah.
And what do they have to do? Just ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. Repent and be baptized.
Repent and be baptized. That's it.
Save yourself from this perverse generation.
Yeah.
We should be saying that today. But anyway,
that's another
show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you talk about Peter and Philip. I mean, you talk about all these guys. They had very low levels of education. I mean, we don't even know if they could read and write.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were working people. They were fishermen. They came from kind of a backwoods kind of a place. And they weren't exactly the smartest guys. that, you know, people mention, you know, their accent gives them away. You know, just like we could tell somebody who's from a different part of the country mm-hmm. by hearing their accent, we say, well, this guy's not from Ohio. You know, right. he must be from Alabama, or he must be from Boston, or
right. Right.
They could
yeah.
tell these guys were Galileans because they had a different accent.
Yeah.
They were not educated people that could sit and have this discourse with the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, they're quoting scripture.
Yeah.
They're connecting David and Jesus that we're going to get into. At, mm-hmm. at least Peter is. And later, if we get much further in Acts, you know, they talk with the Pharisees in a way that the Pharisees don't understand. You know, they say, well, these guys aren't even educated. How do they know all this?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they knew they weren't educated. So this was a total change. And, you know, Jesus had said in John 14 that they were going to do greater works than he had done.
Yeah.
So here's these guys who are, you know, kind of bumbling around, and for 3 years are kind of listening and talking, and to all of a sudden, they go out, start preaching the word, start quoting scripture, start reaching people, aren't afraid of the Pharisees anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They stand right up to them. They're reaching people
mm-hmm.
from different places with different languages. Then later, they'll leave the Jewish world and go into the Gentile world. Well, they'll have totally different languages and cultures and customs.
Yeah.
But they don't say, oh, gee, I don't know. I don't know if I can go there or not.
I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend anybody.
I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want anybody to feel bad. And if somebody wants to worship Zeus, you know, I don't think I should stand in their way if that's what they really think. No, they go everywhere with firm conviction to preach the gospel and to convict people that what they're saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the Gentiles, like our ancestors, who don't have a clue who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were,
mm-hmm.
have no idea about Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, the temple, who the Pharisees are, and they're coming to faith in the Jewish Messiah.
Yeah.
It's really pretty amazing.
Yeah. I know what I was going to tell you before, is that when you're talking about Pentecost, how it was on this day that the Feast of Pentecost fell,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't a random act that God thought, I wonder if we should do it today. let's go for it. You know, but you have to realize that this was planned and predestined
mm-hmm.
for all of creation.
Yes, exactly.
Because, you know, it's a harvest feast.
Yes. We didn't mention that.
Yeah.
We should mention that.
Yeah. So why is it a harvest feast?
Yeah. Originally, it was a harvest feast for the wheat harvest.
The wheat.
Right. There was a barley harvest, which revolves around the Feast of First Fruits.
Yep.
When the barley ripens, the first usable barley that you get, you offer to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, Yeshua, rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. Pentecost, Shavuot, was originally a feast that revolved around the wheat harvest, which was much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And wheat was a much more important grain.
Mm-hmm.
It was a much bigger harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, when we have this New Testament Pentecost in Acts 2, the harvest starts in terms of bringing people from all nations into the kingdom.
Yeah.
Bringing people of all nations to salvation. Like Jesus said, you'll go to the ends of the earth to say this. You're not just going to go to Israel.
Yeah.
You're going to start in Jerusalem, but you're going to go to the ends of the earth. So now the big harvest starts.
Isn't that interesting
mm-hmm.
that Jesus rises on the barley harvest?
Yeah.
First fruits. Not a big harvest.
Nope.
But then
Dies on Passover. Rises in first fruits.
And then Pentecost is the wheat harvest,
yes.
which is a much bigger harvest.
Right. And the Spirit comes.
Yeah, and the Spirit comes.
It's pretty cool.
To bring in a harvest. Yeah, it's always amazing to, as you study Scripture and as you study God's Word, that you begin to understand how all this is planned out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That nothing is really like, catches God off guard. God, I didn't think of that. Wow, I didn't know they were going to do that. you know, as you're saying, Peter is not a well-educated man. Most of the disciples weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Luke was a doctor, obviously. But they are able to place together the scriptures in a way that they hadn't before.
That's right.
The Word of God in a way that they hadn't before. And just as you were saying, you know, sometimes when you're doing a teaching, you get the inspiration of, oh, you know, the Holy Spirit shows you something that you never connected before.
Mm-hmm.
And you're amazed by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit, that's just one of the things the Holy Spirit does.
Yeah.
It's just one of the things the Holy Spirit does. That's awesome.
I had an example of that. The reason I'm chuckling is I just thought of this. I had an example with this last week. On Thursday nights, I have a group in Sheffield. Hi, Sheffield group. And we were doing a thing about Joseph, Jacob's son. And there's an older man who comes there who, I don't know how much Bible study he's done in the past, but he's, you know, kind of interested in learning what we're learning about. And we mm-hmm. happen to be going through my Torah class. And I made some comment about Joseph, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit showed this guy something, and he brought out this amazing teaching about Joseph that wasn't in the notes, wasn't in the scripture, wasn't a thing about how, you know, Joseph was a type of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But he brought up in such a way that everybody around the table suddenly said, wow. And he even said, wow, how did I say that? And I said, dude, that's the Holy Spirit showing you something
yeah.
that now you've shared with us in a very powerful way from mm-hmm. a really nice man who doesn't really talk that much about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really pretty amazing.
It is. And that also shows that God can use anybody he chooses.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He can use anybody he chooses. And sometimes, you know, when you're in ministry, you have to kind of watch for people that you wouldn't necessarily suspect, because sometimes, you know, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
That stuff happens.
Yeah.
And if you're closed, you'll miss stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And interestingly too, you know, we always talk about, they always refer to Moses and the prophets, and I can't help thinking that, and this is like one of my little Holy Spirit testimonies. I mean, within weeks of my becoming a believer, I was sitting in a room with the Old Testament that I didn't know a thing about, reading the Old Testament, making notes, studying a sixth grade commentary on the Old Testament, because I was like barely understanding that. And then, you know, reading some stuff and making notes. And I thought, why in the world am I learning all this stuff in the books of Moses?
Yeah.
I should be like reading Gospels and Epistles. And
uh-huh.
I would flip to one of the Gospels and I would hear the Holy Spirit say, now go back to what you were just reading in Numbers, because that's what this is about. And I would say, whoa, and I would make a note,
ooh.
You know, and I couldn't figure out, because that went on for a long, long time, and I couldn't figure out why that was going on
mm-hmm.
until all of a sudden I start meeting Messianic Jews. I start listening to Messianic music. We get involved in Messianic ministry, start teaching in congregations in Israel, having Israelis come here to teach,
mm-hmm.
communicating with people in Israel by Skype, and all these things, and now culminating in one in Messiah. All that stuff was to get me ready for this.
Yep.
I just didn't know at the time.
Mm-hmm. The preparation period for us is the gray area that, and I don't want to say it's a gray area for God.
Right.
It's a gray area for us because we don't understand what's really taking place.
That's right.
We don't see what the end result's going to be.
That's right.
God does.
Yes. And I used to tell people, oh, you know, I was just reading this interesting thing in Numbers, and everybody would say, what? And I'd say, oh, no, Book of Numbers. You know, and they'd go like,
the Book
of Numbers. Is that one of those Old Testament books?
How many numbers are in Numbers?
Yeah. And so I can imagine these guys suddenly, and these guys had a pretty good background in the Old Testament, because every Shabbat for their whole life, they had heard the readings.
To say the least, yeah.
And now all of a sudden, they probably remember Jesus saying to the Pharisees, you search for eternal life, and that's good, but the scrolls are about me. And mm-hmm. probably remember him at the synagogue at Nazareth saying, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they say, wow, remember when he told us about Moses and the prophets and he told us about all this stuff? This is what it was about.
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling. Ooh. Oh, I like this too.
Ooh, this is a good song.
And check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org and go to WilburMinistries.com.
Buy one of everything?
Yeah, he's the only one that gets free advertising on this show.
All right.
Judah, the lamb was slain. You ascended to heaven and nevermore will reign. At the end of the age, when the earth you reclaim, you will gather the nations before you. And the eyes of all men will be fixed on the lamb who was crucified. With wisdom and mercy and justice you reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who was slain for the world, ruling by. And the earth will reply, You shall reign as the King of all kings and the Lord of the world. There's a shield in our hand and a sword at our side. There's a fire in our spirits that cannot be denied. 'Cause the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations that gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, who descended to hell yet was raised up to reign at his Father's side. And the angels will cry, I'm
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So here we are, Pentecost show number two. We haven't even got to Peter yet.
I wonder if it took this long on Pentecost morning for Peter to give a speech.
I don't know, probably
two
not.
Two shows?
No, probably not.
He would have said to you guys, hey, you guys, get out of my way. I got something important to say.
But this is why and I'm convinced that this is what happened to these people that morning. Because when somebody says to me, oh, you know, that Old Testament stuff is so boring, I just go like, no!
Yeah.
Listen, you know, yeah. Here's the thing. This means Jesus. This is Jesus. This is a prefigurement. This is a type. He's the substance. These things are the shadows. Look, it's all about him. And then they all kind of look at you stupid.
Yeah. They well, you know, I mean, if you don't understand it, and if you don't study it and you don't understand it, I mean, certainly when you get the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit opens up your mind and your heart to things that you didn't know before. Yeah. But if you look at, just the fall of man, you know, Satan tempted Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too far off the subject here, but Satan was really getting them to exchange the relationship that they had with God, walking with him in the garden, for
mm-hmm.
a lie.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he succeeded.
That's right.
What did he do to Jesus when he was tempted in the desert after 40 days of fasting? Turn these stones into bread.
Yeah.
Have some food.
Yeah.
Come on, you can do it.
Make yourself a sandwich.
Yeah. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you bow down and prostrate and worship me.
Mm-hmm.
Exchange, Son of God, Jesus, exchange the glory you had before with the Father for all of eternity. Exchange that for this.
Yeah.
And what does he do for us? What does he do to us? Mm-hmm. He wants us to exchange the inheritance that Jesus won for us on the cross, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and the riches of the kingdom of God for a lie.
Yep.
No, he's been doing it for a long time.
He always uses the same approach.
Same approach, same tactic. But the end result is he wants to get a believer and a non-believer, no matter you're a believer or non-believer, he wants to get you to exchange the inheritance that is yours with God through Jesus Christ for a lie.
That's right.
That's the bottom line of it.
That's right. And it's, I was thinking as you were saying that he also, even like how many people say to you, oh, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm good. I don't know. You know, I'm going to heaven because I'm good.
Yeah.
And I'm way better than most people I know. And I'm way better than that guy over there. And this idea of, well, I'm really good. And, you know, when you think about it, I heard somebody once do a thing about that, use the analogy of swimming, speaking of Cancun. And they said that if two people get dropped into the middle of the ocean and there's no land, you know, for hundreds of miles,
mm-hmm.
and one's an expert Olympic swimmer and the other one can barely swim a couple of strokes, and that ocean represents sin, they're both in the same boat. The guy's an Olympic swimmer, but he's not going to swim 500 miles to the nearest piece of land.
Right.
They're both going to die in the sin.
Right, exactly.
Unless you have like your experience of somebody who comes beside you.
Well, you have to call the name of Jesus.
And rescues you.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful, I thought, very powerful way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all immersed in that ocean. You know, the deliverance from Egypt, like we always say, was just like Egypt represents sin.
Yeah.
You know, we were in slavery and sin, and we get liberated from that, not because all of a sudden we became so awesome, but because he leads us out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus himself leads us out of that, you know, place of slavery to sin. And as you said before, the Holy Spirit purifies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fire purifies, you know, and part of the role of the Holy Spirit is not just the gifts,
mm-hmm.
which are very important to the body, the building up of the body of Christ, but the Holy Spirit wants to purify us and sanctify us.
Yes.
So that we become transformed more mm-hmm. and more into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, it's not just, the Holy Spirit is not just there to give us gifts and we go and continue in our way of life and don't change any bad habits. I mean, realistically, each one of us falls into bad habits.
Sure.
And bad habits can lead to sin habits.
Yeah.
And old habits die hard.
And we can learn those habits easy.
Very easily, because we are creatures of habit. But the Holy Spirit comes to really, with the love of God, draw us back to Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the conviction is a little strong. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's a gentle nudge. Mm-hmm. But it's always, there's always an invitation to return to God.
Yes.
There's never a condemnation of, oh, God can't love you now.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously Satan.
Yeah, that comes from the enemy.
Yeah, but if it's the Holy Spirit, there's always going to be that invitation to seek reconciliation
yes.
with the Father. Yeah.
Amen. Good way to put it.
And this is what Peter does in his speech at Pentecost.
Are we ever going to get to Peter in his speech?
Maybe, hopefully
maybe
next week. The start of the show. We should, at the start of the show next week.
We got to do, right at the beginning, we got to do Peter. Because I think Peter does a really good sermon on Pentecost morning.
Oh, excellent. One of the best ever. One of the best ever. And it's recorded for us.
It's recorded,
good.
Yeah. Not, you know, sound recording, but
ooh,
written record.
Man, if we had an MP3 file of that, that'd be great.
Yeah. And,
there it is.
Oh, no, the show's over. We haven't even gotten to Peter yet. Anyway, hang on, St. Peter. We'll be right with you next week. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that the grace and power of the Holy Spirit would come upon your life and that you would allow Him to transform you into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.